This second lecture is titled The Population of Israel at the Exodus. There's always been a difficulty in logistics with the amount of people that made up the nation of Israel at the time of Moses, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. The main problem has come from the census that was taken at the very beginning of the Exodus, and also the one 40 years later at the very end. Because when you read Numbers chapter 1 and 2 and the other section of Numbers, you find that there were just about 600,000 armed men for the war. Now, that just means men between the ages of 20 and about 50. It did not include the younger men. It did not include the older men. And it certainly didn't include the women. So 600,000 men armed for the war, being out there in the middle of the Sinai Desert, you know, that has been rather a head-scratcher to lots of people. Now, this is especially so because when you read the events that took place out there in the wilderness, and also after they crossed the River Jordan and into the land of Canaan, and look at the history and the archaeology of the period, you will find that it seems almost impossible to believe that there would have been that many men. Now, if you put all of the population of Israel into one conglomerate, you would find with 600,000 armed men for the war, and that doesn't include the younger men or the older men, and the women, you would come to a population well over 2 million people, and probably in the neighborhood of 2.5 million people. Do you realize that that is the population of Los Angeles, California, on the move out there in the Sinai Desert? Oh, my goodness. You know, when you think about it, that is quite a prodigious number of people. This has given some difficulty to scholars and to historians in trying to pay attention to what the Exodus actually says. Some people have said, these are just fairy tales, obviously, because clearly Moses couldn't have had that many people under his control at that time. Now, as far as I am concerned, if the Bible says there were 600,000 living people, men I mean at the time, I'm willing to accept it. My goodness, the Bible tells us the truth. I don't have the slightest doubt about that. But you know, what we want to find out is what God actually means in these matters. You know, that is where education really comes on the scene. And God has given us all of the details if we are willing to look at what God has told us. He's given us the details so that we can figure out generally and pretty accurately, not precisely perhaps, but pretty accurately, what was going on back at that time. He has not left us in the dark. It's most amazing what we really find out concerning the population of Israel if you will just pay close attention to the words of the Bible. I mentioned in my advertisement about this lecture in the communicator that what we need to do is to pay close attention to what the words of the Bible actually say concerning these 600,000 some odd men armed for the war. Because let me tell you, it does mean 600,000. Now, at my last time in Israel, my wife and I were up at the Intercontinental Hotel up there at on the Mount of Olives. We were talking to one of the top archaeologists in Israel. This was a little over a year ago. And I brought up this question of the population of Israel at the time of the Exodus. And he said, well, anyone with any sense knows that 600,000 armed men, it couldn't possibly have been that many. And it would be a population of 2.5 million out there in the wilderness. He said, in no way could it be. And I said, well, what's the answer then? He said, well, the word thousands, when it says 600,000, the word thousands actually, if you look at it by stretching it a little bit, it could mean families, and it means only 600 families were out there. Well, I accepted that from the point of view of what he said, but you know, in no way could that be the case. That theory has been around about 50 or 60 years. That's quite true. But you know, when it says thousands in the Bible, it actually means thousands. I wished long time ago that that would be the answer, because at least then we could understand what was going on back there. And that is what satisfied this archaeologist that I was talking to. And by the way, he's a very fine gentleman and a friend of mine. And that was his answer. He said that in no way could it mean that there were actually 600,000 armed men for the war. So his answer was that the word thousands there in the Bible, though it's true, it really means families. It doesn't mean the actual number thousands. Well, let me tell you this. If you study that theory all the way through, you will find that there are deficiencies in it. It actually does show that there were 600,000, just over, armed men for the war that were tallied in that first census and also in the second census at the end of the 40 years. Now, there could have been 600,000 people of Israelites at that time. I mean, I'm talking about the men, or a population, if you include the younger men and older men and the women, of a population of about 2.5 million. There could be. As a matter of fact, we can figure that out pretty carefully, and it's been done by scholars. For example, it says in Exodus chapter 1, let's go there just a moment, because at the very near the beginning of the Exodus, there were several events that took place that preceded the Exodus, in which Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt, and here's what it says. Let's look at this book of Exodus here, chapter 1. It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Then it mentions the ones that did. In verse 5 it says, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Now, those 70 souls, they were the ones who came down with Jacob to see Joseph, who, by the way, at this time was sitting on the throne of Pharaoh, next to Pharaoh. But if you include Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh and the children that he had at that time down there, the Apostle Paul says Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verse 4, that the number was actually 75. Well, 70 or 75, whatever. So we have the number that actually went down to Egypt at the time of Joseph, 70 or 75. And you know, really, it's pretty easy to figure up that 600,000 men, just men in this case, could certainly have been in evidence, let's say, by the sixth generation after the time of Jacob. When the Exodus actually took place. Because, let's say, in the first generation, there were 70 men. And when you read the genealogical tables, you will find there were normally about 4, 5, or 6 men that were born to each family. You can read it there in Exodus and Numbers and places like that. So let's just take an average and say that there were 5 men born to every Israelite that went down to Egypt. And if there were 70 of them, well, 5 times 70, a second generation would show 350 Israelitish men. Now, that's not including the women, because they probably had as many women as men, meaning that if you have 600,000 men, well, then you're going to have 600,000 women. And, of course, you've got to include the younger and the older and all of that. So with 70 going down there in the first generation, if 5 men were born to each family, then the second generation, 5 times 70, brings you to 350. Now, in the third generation, 5 times 350 brings you to 1,750 Israelites in the third generation. And then if you go to the fourth generation, 5 times 1750 brings you to almost 9,000, let's say around 9,000 for the fourth generation. Well, the fifth generation, though, if every family had about, on the average, 5 sons, not including the daughters, well, 5 times 9,000 comes to 45,000 by the fifth generation. And then if you go to the sixth generation, 5 families for each of those 45,000 comes to 225,000 by the sixth generation. And by the seventh generation, 5 times 225,000 brings you way up there over a million. So certainly by the sixth generation down there in Israel, in Egypt, well, you could have 600,000 men armed for the war. You absolutely could, from the 70 that went down there in the first generation to just after the sixth generation, you can have 600,000. Now, if you carry on with what Exodus says here, it says in verse 6, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now, I have no doubt that they did progressively begin to increase. That's what it says. They were fruitful. They increased abundantly and multiplied. In fact, it goes on to say they waxed exceedingly mighty. So I see no reason for doubting that they could have had just over 6 generations the 600,000 armed men for the war down there in Egypt. In fact, it says, going on here in verse 8, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. In other words, they had such a growth, population increase of Israelites at that time, that they equaled and indeed exceeded the number of native-born Egyptians. Now, that's what it says. So why in the world should we object to these 600,000 people, these men, being down there in Egypt? Well, I don't think we should have any difficulty with that. Let's go on. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, said this king. this Egyptian king, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. So you know what he did? This king then, this Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph, after Joseph had died, he put them under servitude. These vast numbers of Israelites that we have here, put them under servitude. And we find it here in the next few verses of Exodus chapter 1. And in fact, they got so prodigious in numbers. In verse 15 it says, "And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sifra, and the name of the other Puah, and said to them, Why does the office of the midwife, when you do the office, I beg your pardon, to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools," that means the birth stools, "if it be a son, then you shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then you shall keep him alive." In other words, he said, we've got to put a stop to this. There are too many Israelites coming along. So he told the midwives to kill all the boy babies. Well, the midwives, as it goes on to say, were able to hide them, and they tricked Pharaoh, but not for long, because in verse 22 it says, "And Pharaoh, when he found out he had been tricked by the midwives at first, charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." So he then put into action what the midwives were unable to do at first. They were saving them at first, but not finally. And so we have then most of the boy babies at the time of Moses when he was born, most of them were being killed. That's what it says here. And in fact, the next chapter, chapter 2, shows that when Moses came along, we find that he was put into a basket of bulrushes and put into the Nile River and let float down the river. And it was Pharaoh's daughter who picked him up, finally rearing him in Pharaoh's court, and he became a member of Pharaoh's family. But you see, this example in chapter 2 of Moses is to show that there was one child, boy baby, that was saved. There was a mass destruction of Israelite boy babies at this time. There may have been as many as 600,000. You know, it was the sixth generation or the seventh, and there could have been that many. But you know, these boy babies were beginning to be killed off. And that is one of the reasons that God raised up Moses to be able to, after 40 years, come back at his 80th year and to go to Pharaoh and through a series of events, plagues and things like that, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, because they were under great straits at that time. Not only under servitude, but they had actually been subjected to a great killing of boy babies. Boy babies, that's what it says. Now, this has been overlooked by so many people, but it's about time that we realize what was going on back there. However, when the Exodus actually took place and the Israelites went through the Red Sea, they found themselves now, men, women, and children, the ones that were left and all of that, out there in the wilderness. And manna was provided for them, water miraculously and all of that. And you know, when the first census was taking place, well, they counted them up apparently, and they counted the names. And the first census, as recorded in the first chapters of Numbers, says that there were just over 600,000 names of the Israelites, of men who were able to go to war between the ages of 20 and 50. So when you number, as I said before, the younger men and the older men, as well as the women, you get a population of around 2.5 million. If names. Now, there is no doubt about that. But there's a problem involved in all of this. Because, you know, there was a great decimation of the male babies, it says, in the first chapter. And that was one of the reasons why Moses was called up to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses was saved himself in a miraculous way. Really, there was a great decimation of the Israelitish population at that time. It makes one wonder if there were exactly 600,000 armed men for the war that went through the Red Sea. Well, now, people have scratched their heads over this. And as I said before, one of the finest archaeologists in the Middle East at the present time just simply could not believe that there were that many Israelites out there in the wilderness, numbering somewhere around 2.5 million. And there are many problems involved in this because, you know, just before the Israelites got to Mount Sinai, they had a war with some desert tribal era people known as the Amalekites. These Amalekites were part Canaanite, and also they had stemmed from Esau, who was twin brother to Jacob. They were in one way kin to Israel, but they had Canaanite blood in them. And it says just before they got to the land of, to the area of Mount Sinai, that a major war took place. And as long as Moses' hands were raised up high, Israel prevailed in the war. When he got tired, however, and put his hands down, well, then the Amalekites prevailed. Now, if there were 600 100,000 armed men for the war out there on the side of Israel, you would think if the Amalekites were able to gain the advantage on some occasions, there must have been at least 600,000 of them out there in the wilderness. And, you know, there was little water out there. There was no food out there. Well, how did the Amalekites get all of this sustenance to be able to fight against the Israelites? It makes you feel that there weren't quite as many Israelites out there, actually, as you find recorded in the first chapter of Numbers. This is what has caused many head-scratchings to go on. And there are other things, too. When the Israelites left Mount Sinai and started north into Palestine, they got pretty close to the area, and then they sent out the 12 spies to spy out the land 40 days. And when they came back, only Joshua and Caleb said, let's go in and take the land. The other 10 did not want to do it. And the Israelites balked, and so God sent them back into the wilderness for 40 years. But when, after that 40 years period was over, they were then going to go north into Palestine to conquer it, but God wouldn't let them go directly north. He sent them on the east side of Jordan. He sent them through the land of Edom. And if you look at it very carefully, Moses said to the Edomites, let us go through. We will stay on the highway, just the highway, just the dirt track, that's all, up the canyon and all of that. And this highway was known as the King's Highway. It was a highway between Egypt and Babylon. And we will stay only on the highway. We will buy water from you. We will buy food and everything like that. If there was a population of 2.5 million on that one little road, that little dirt track that was going up there, where the Israelites were with their cattle and their wagons and things like that, you know, back in the old West days, when our pioneers were coming from Missouri, Nebraska, and places like that into California, they would stretch out their wagons, maybe 20, 30, 40, hardly any more than that, and there would probably be in a number of around 300 or 400 people. At the most, there would be 500 people, let's say, with 50 or 60 wagons. Well, you know, they would be strung out. Maybe over a mile period, you would probably find 500 people. Or let's say 1,000 or something like that. Do you realize that on one dirt track out there in the wilderness, going up through Edom, as it says it happened, on the King's Highway, for all of those 2.5 million Israelites, if that's how many there were, to be able to go on that one dirt track, and there were 2.5 million of them, and let's say 1,000 to every mile, do you realize that those Israelites would be stretching out over 2,500 miles long? That would be from the Sinai Desert to Great Britain. My goodness, that is almost impossible to think of. Now, there are other problems as well, too, that when they finally went over the River Jordan and took over Jericho, you know, I've taken many people down to see the ruins of Jericho. It's 10 acres in area, that's what it is, and Kathleen Kenyon, the archaeologist from Great Britain, who excavated there about 20 years ago, estimated that at its height, inside the city itself, it could have housed no more than 3,500 people. My, if you've got then 2.5 million people going around a little old tiny village of 3,500, well, they wouldn't have had to have the walls come down by an earthquake or something by a miracle. They could just, by sheer mass, taken it over, you see. In fact, it would have been the hardest thing in the world when you look at the area down there to get the city of the size, the population the size of the city of Los Angeles walking around that little 10 acres. It would almost seems ridiculous. So when you look at it, these 600,000 men that are mentioned as accompanying Israelites out of Egypt, it seems to be very difficult to believe, especially when you come even to the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus in verse 25. Just before they reached Mount Sinai, Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, said to Moses that, you know, you're bringing too much on yourself by all of these people coming up to you. You need to have a chain of command. And you know, when Jethro gave him that chain of command, it's most interesting. He said you should have leaders over 1,000s and over 100s and over 50s and over 20s and over 10s. He didn't say over 10,000s. He didn't say over 100,000s or anything like that. He only started with the thousands, as though there weren't all that many when you look at it. And you know, when you come to Exodus 33, verses 7 to 10, you ought to read that there, because in the first year of the Exodus, when they had set up the camp there in one area of Sinai, and this is before the tabernacle of the sanctuary was set up, but Moses, he allowed the Israelites to be in this camp. Let me read that. I think it's most important. Let's turn over to Exodus 33 very quickly here, and look at verse 7, you can get a general feeling right here from historical narrative of the Bible itself how many people, basically or closely, there must have been. Because it says in verse 7 here of Exodus 33, and Moses took the tabernacle. This is a particular tent. His own home tent is actually what it means. He pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. This was before the actual official tabernacle called the sanctuary or the portable temple was set up, which was at the beginning of the second year. This was Moses' own headquarters tent. Notice where he set it up. He set it up outside the camp of Israel. All these people were camped in one place, and he set it up outside the camp. That's where he set it. Now it goes on to say, and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was before the camp, that is, on the east side, or without the camp, on the east side. It came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, or that tent, that all the people rose up, stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into that tabernacle or that tent. It says here that every man in the camp of Israel that had his own tent and his family in that tent, they were able to look out the gate or the door of that tent and see Moses go outside of the camp and go into his own tent, which was afar off from the camp. Now, my, if it's the city, size of the city of Los Angeles, that would have been square miles galore that would have had to have been used to be able to house all of those people in those tents. My, how many? They would be so crowded, even in a 150 square mile area, as I figured it out, it would almost be impossible. They would be practically on top of one another. But they were able to come outside of their own tent doors and look in the distance and see Moses go into his tent. And everyone in the camp was able to do that. So you see from this illustration alone, it shows that it doesn't seem like there could have been 600,000 actual men and women that were there at that time. Now, what is God trying to show us in all of this, however? Is there an answer to this problem? You bet there is. And you know what we need to do is to pay close attention to what the biblical revelation says. It's been there all along. And you know what we need to realize is that God gives us the clues to understand the general amount of people that were there accompanying Moses at the time of the Exodus. Now, I can't give you every little detail of things simply because I was not there. But you know, we have the biblical revelation that gives us plenty of essential clues so that we can really begin to understand what was going on at that time. If you want to know how many people there generally were, let me show you how you can do it. And you need to study this yourself. If you will go to Numbers chapter 3 and verse 43, it says that a census was took place after the major census, which got a little over 600,000 armed men for the war, it seemed like, with all their names there. That's quite true. But when you come to the actual census of the firstborn that were there, the firstborn males, they found the exact number of firstborn males that were in Israel at the time of the Exodus. Now, this is most important. Pay attention to this, because in verse 43 of Numbers chapter 3, it says, and all the firstborn males, all of them, it says, by the number of their names, from a month old and upwards, of those that were numbered of them were 22,273. I mean, they got down to the exact person. 22,273 firstborn males. That means of all the generations. Now, how many generations were there living at the time? There was Moses, who was 80 years of age, and he wrote in Psalm 90 at this time that the normal age span of people at that time was 70, or by reason of strength, 80. You can find this in the Psalm of Moses in Psalm 90. So, you know, if Moses was 80 years of age, and he had children, and his children had children, and he had great-grandchildren, that's quite true, you probably got in the neighborhood of three generations being talked about here of firstborns. Well, if there were three generations of firstborn that were coming before Moses at the time, and they numbered 22,273, well, just take three generations into 22,000, and that odd number there. Well, 3 into 22 gives you just over 7,000 families. 7,000 families. Now, since we read in the genealogical tables in other places here in the Exodus, there were usually about five male children, not female, but five male children to every family. Well, then you would find 5 times 7, or let me say 6 times 7, or 6 children, whatever it be, between 35 and 42 or 45,000 people that are being discussed. Now, that makes perfectly good sense as far as the males are concerned. Now, you've got to put the females in there as well. Now, the interesting thing is, If these 22,273 actually means firstborn of the 600,000 males, do you know that every single woman then, every single woman, if it's talking about 600,000 men living at the time, it would mean that every single woman had just over 27 boy babies. And if you put the girls in there, that means every single one would have had 55 or 56 children. You know, that's pretty good strain on a woman, I would think. But you know, Moses is not telling us, if we'll look carefully at this, and I'm going to give you the clue in just a moment, he is not telling us there were 600,000 living people at the time. Many of them had been decimated in Egypt at the time that the male children were killed. Many of them had been. Oh yes, they numbered almost that much by the time of the Exodus, or near that time, but there was a great decimation of Israelitish population. You're going to find just what the answer was in just a moment. But if you take these exact firstborn here, 22,273, as we find in that verse in Numbers chapter 3 and verse 43, and then there were about three, maybe four generations at the most being discussed, let's say three generations in there, means that there were just about 7,000 families. And if there were 7,000 families, and each family had five or six boys, plus girls, then let's say six boys for each of the 7,000 families, you get just a little over 42,000 people. Isn't it interesting that when they went against God in the last year of the Exodus, when they committed fornication with the Moabite women, that there were 24,000 of the men that were killed? And that left just about, you might say, 16 or 17,000. And then when they finally warred with the Midianites in the last chapters of the book of Numbers, it said 1,000 armed men were picked from each tribe. That's all, just 1,000. That's what it says, meaning about 12,000. And they had about 16,000 to begin with. It means that the general population of Israel, when they crossed over the River Jordan, would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, 30, or 40,000. Now, when they went against this little village of Jericho, which housed around 3,500 people, that is, people in the city itself. Now, what they would do when they were going to be invaded, the people on the outskirts would go into the city, of course, for protection. So there must have been around 10, 15, or 20,000 people, maybe in the city of Jericho at the time. And the number of actual people of the Israelites, if we read it very carefully here, was around 30,000 or something, 20 to 30, 40,000, when you put it all together. Now, what about this, though, of 600,000 men armed for the war? My, it's what it says, and you know that's what it means. You know, we ought to read very carefully, though, how those names that we find there numbered up to 600,000. We have actually 600,000 names that were being mentioned, not individuals who were living at the time. Look at verse 18 of Numbers chapter 1. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upwards. In other words, those 600,000 were names in pedigrees. All the way back to Abraham, they were genealogical tables, and God, he worded it this way. He wanted people to understand in his census taking. Now, he does it differently than you and I do, and he didn't discuss with us whether or not this was right or wrong. He does it in a different way. Do you realize he started actually from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and included them in all of the people going in? It says here the names that made up 600,000 men were those in the pedigrees. And you know, in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul, if he wrote Hebrews, and I think he did, he actually said that when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, that Levi, who was a fourth generation from him, was still paying tithes, though he wasn't even born at the time. Levi was actually being counted. And the same thing here in a reverse way. All of these names here are all of the people in the genealogical tables. It says right here, pedigrees, which went back to Abraham. When you understand how God counts people, then everything begins to make sense. Let us pay attention to what Moses said. And if we do, we will find common sense teaching.